All right, well, I just want to open in prayer, if you don't mind. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we have to all come together, Lord. The Father, that we can hear your word, Lord, that we can set our eyes on these pages, Lord Jesus, to see the script that you put before us, Lord, that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be alert and sharp to hear, Lord. That we would be able to take this in, Father, and own it as truth within our hearts. That faith may arise from our hearts as we speak. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I asked Shannon to go ahead and give that testimony this morning because it's going to come segue right in to what we're going to be talking about tonight. Amen. How many of you have heard about the experiment that they did where they put leads on a guy's brain, on his skull, and they recorded his brain activity when he was praying in tongues? And as he was praying in tongues, not the normal frontal lobe of his brain where the speech center normally is, or wherever it is, that wasn't activated. Instead, another part of the brain is what lit up and was activated. It wasn't coming from his intellectual mind when he prayed in tongues. And they've proven this scientifically. They can show your brain activity as you're doing it, which really helps. I mean, we do it by faith, right? We pray in tongues by faith. And so we know these things are true by faith because the Holy Spirit bears witness as we read them in the Word. But it's nice to see that science is also proving this stuff is true, right? Okay. Well, I want to talk to us about our words and the power that our words have, about believing God by faith for things and the power of our words and how they really do frame the world that we're living in. Now, they may not frame this building necessarily by your direct words, but your whole experience that you personally are interpreting your life around you as is framed by your words. Amen? That way, we take full responsibility for the results that we're getting in our lives. Isn't that good news? Yes. That's really good news. Unless your life sucks. Then it's not... Can I say that? Unless there's a vacuum in your life. Unless your life is not going well with you, then, you know, you don't maybe want to say, well, it's not my fault. I'm not the one causing this to happen. It's them out there. But if we will really know that it's us that needs to take responsibility for how we are not only interpreting the world around us by what we put our attention on, what we focus on, but how our reality is around us. Like Pastor Trey was speaking this morning, if he lied to Bill and told Bill that his daughter got an accident, she was in intensive care in the hospital, Bill would have a lot of feelings in his heart corresponding to that negative or hurtful information that he just received. Even though it was a lie, to him, the source was credible and it was the truth. Amen? I can't tell you how many times I was deceived by the internet because I was reading something on the internet and it seemed so legitimate that my heart sucked it in as truth. But it was refuted later as a lie, as a fabrication. And I went on living my life as though it was real. With me? Our feelings. I've just gone through a few little things in my life to where my feelings got activated very strongly. And they told me what my reality was. No, it didn't. They told me their perception of my reality. And I responded accordingly to that perception. Shannon gave a testimony that she was told a reality, but she didn't allow that to be her perception of the truth. She says, no, there's a different reality that's going to come into existence, and I'm going to speak that reality into existence. Even though somebody else said a reality that's different, I'm going to give you God's perspective and what God says is true, and started seeing the results of that. And has asked us to align ourselves with that faith and speak and see the same thing she's believing for. And we come in agreement with her to see that come to pass. Amen? Amen. Do you know they have now proven scientifically, factually, that you speak to matter and it responds to you? We're going to watch a little 9-minute video. It's very controversial, but it's very impactful. It's very well known by a lot of different people, explain the same information. I chose this one guy because he looks scholarly. They have it in cartoon format also. They have it in all different kinds of ways of explaining this piece of information. Basically, it's this. A long, long time ago, somebody did an experiment with light, and they wanted to see how light manifests in the molecular level. They call it quantum level. Okay? Light is particles and waves, and they can't quite figure all that out because there's a reality that man has not come in contact with yet. So we're using the dim light that we have to understand these things and explain them from a dim point of view. But it's the best one we got, so we're using it. Amen? So these guys are going to explain this, and what I want you to pay attention to is the very end of the video of this thing. So it's 9 minutes long, and if it bores you, just bear with me, will you? And we'll all get through it, and then I want to talk about it when it's all done. Bruce, you want to give it a shot? But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. 24, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And that word ask, I've told you before, it's alito, something like that. It's G154. And it says CG441. And when you go see 441, it has all the three different kinds of asks that they are in the Bible. And it says this kind of ask is strictly a demand on something that is rightfully yours. A demand for something that is rightfully yours. I just kind of paraphrased a little bit, but that's specifically what it says. So this kind of ask is, it's yours, and you're already asking for what's yours because you're going to get it, because it's yours, right? So when we're using this faith and we're calling things that be not as though they are, like in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, God gives life to the dead and calls things that be not as though they are, you know this thing, or as though they were, that we are calling into existence what we're not experiencing. We're not telling what we're experiencing, it's not allowed to be here. That's lying. We are telling what we don't have to be here, right? So she wasn't telling whatever it is it had to go. I mean, you might speak to the mountain and tell the mountain to go, but then you speak life in that situation and health and vitality back into that situation, right? So those guys that meditated, that really knew how to get results, got it. Do you think Jesus knew how to get results? He was able to not only do the fig tree, but he spoke to the wind also and told it to stop. And then he rebuked them for not having faith, didn't he? Or for the devils to come out of the little boy, and he rebuked them for not having faith. Right? Or how about this? The water into wine. He took what did not exist, wine, and spoke it into existence. He says, go and give it to the masters. Knowing it was going to be wine as soon as he got it there. It was just water. He said, fill the water vessels. He didn't give anyone else a clue what was going to happen, but he knew exactly what was going to happen, right? Is Jesus special? I ask a question. He is in the fact that he was the Son of God and he died for the sins of the world. He never sinned. But as far as the way he demonstrated how to walk on the earth, are we entitled to walk the same way he walked? Are we allowed to call things into existence that don't exist? He says that when it comes to things and stuff, whatever we believe, we're going to get the results on. Okay? Can I give an example of my faith, which is going to like be bad? Because it might include some of you guys too. Inadvertently. The boiler stopped working. It was doing gas. And I told it, now you work properly in Jesus' name. You know what? It didn't obey me. I told the carbon monoxide to get out of this building now in Jesus. It did not obey me. And the Bible says that stuff has to obey me. You know why? I didn't believe it was going to do it either. I said the words because I was supposed to, but I didn't really know that it had to obey me. And I can say it in my brain. Sure, I've read it in the Bible. But when it comes to a real life experience, I was working on my car yesterday. And as I'm working on my car yesterday, I had to do something and it wasn't working. I couldn't get my hand in there and the parts weren't going the way I wanted to. And it was really hard on me. And you know what I finally did? I spoke to it. I said, Lord, have your angels help me. Part, you go into place right now in Jesus' name. My hand is hurting. It shouldn't take this long. Boom. Pop. I went, whoa. Whoa. Fast. I mean, it's like, why didn't I do that a half hour ago? My hand's all torn up, man. Why didn't I do that? I mean, it was terrible hard and terrible hard to get the part out. Really in a real tough spot. And I didn't pray until like 4 hours later. And when I did, bang. Because all of a sudden, the idea came. Oh, I got authority over this. Why don't I pray? And it did. But the had to come. You know what I mean? The reality that I have authority over the situation. Look at this. Go to Genesis chapter 1. This is how God does it. I'm going to jump real fast so you can just kind of like do your speed reading. I'm only going to say the first few words of these verses, right? Genesis 1 verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 9. Then God said, verse 11, then God said, verse 14, then God said, verse 20, then God said, verse 24, then God said, are you getting my drift? Verse 26, then God said, he deliberately did each and every part of that on purpose. And it did. That stuff that acts one way, acts another way once it's got your attention. Once it's got your attention, it will respond accordingly. So now listen to this. Do you know that we can speak to things and it will obey us if we believe what we say is going to happen? Isn't that crazy? Now let's just think about this. If we talk to stuff, it will do what we say if we believe it will do what we say. If we don't believe it's going to do what we say, then it's not going to do what we say. But if we believe it will do what we say, we don't assume it will do. We don't test it to see if it will. We know it will do. In other words, we call things that are not as though they are. They're not doing something, or they're not in the place we want, or they're not manifesting the way we like. So we speak what we want or how we want it to behave into being. Not the way that it is. We don't want that anymore. We want it to do what we say. With me? My dog, Elsa. I did not go out on my front porch and say things that are as though they're not. In other words, walk out on my front porch. I'm the only one on my front porch. And I go, Elsa's here. Elsa's here right now. Elsa is standing next to me. And you walk up and go, where is she? Well, by faith, she's right here next to me. How many of you know I'm not going to have my dog? My dog's going to be running the neighborhood. I'm not either, because they're going to think I'm crazy, right? So I don't say that, but what I do is I call for what I want to be here. She's my dog, right? I have authority over her. We both know it. So therefore, when I call her, what do I expect? I expect my dog to come. I don't just hope my dog. I expect my dog to come. And when I call her, guess what? She comes. Why? Because she has to obey me. We both know that. And she does. She came. I don't call the cat if I want the dog. I call the dog. Right? I'm too excited. I'm happy on the inside. Things have to obey us if we believe they're going to obey us. They have to obey us. It's not they have a choice. The choice isn't in them. The choice is in whether we matter-of-factly believe it or not. Jesus says, and I don't think that he would just say something that's not true. I don't think he would tell us that you can take this tree and uproot itself and tell it to plant itself in the sea and it'll obey you. I don't think he was just giving us a high and mighty idea, because he walked on the water, you guys. He actually walked in front of everybody. And then he had a normal, everyday human being do the very same thing, right? Who on his own got afraid and started sinking, right? But when Jesus stepped back in, his faith rose back up again. Jesus intervened, and boom. So, if it'll work for Jesus, will it work for you and I? It should. Let me give you another parable. Go to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to make a little association here. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 31. No, that's not it. I wrote down the wrong verse. Go to Luke 13:19. Yeah, it might be. I'm on the wrong page. Yeah, it is right. Oh, I was on Mark chapter 3. All right, you with me? Mark chapter 4, verse 31. Jesus talking about the parable of a mustard seed. And he says, let me start in 30. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. 32. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Right? So this little seed, this is what the kingdom of God is like. You take this little bit of belief that you have. This little bit of faith you have in the kingdom of God and what your part is in the kingdom of God and how you can operate in the kingdom of God. And you take this little bit of belief that you have on where it does work for you and you plant it in the ground. And it'll grow. And it'll grow. And it'll put down roots. And it'll start growing. And it'll take up more space and more space inside your heart. And more of your identity and more of your identity and more of your identity will be that you operate spiritually and you're not a slave to natural. You're aware of natural, but you're the master of the natural by your spirit. Hear me. You're the master of the natural by your spirit, because the Creator dwells in you, who speaks things into existence. And has made us equal with himself by a gift, not by our greatness. It is by his spirit in us. We can do the same things he did. It's totally a gift. Take his spirit out and you can't do nothing. You just lay there. Nothing. But with his spirit, you can do whatever he can do, because you're one spirit with him. So he speaks things into existence. You can speak things into existence. Amen? Problem is, we try to step out in things that are over our heads, where we're not bearing fruit yet, and wonder why it doesn't work, because we're in an emergency state or an imperative state where it's very urgent to get the results, and we're just expecting, wow, it's just going to happen. Well, that's those people right off the street sitting down and trying to concentrate and cause those particles to do what they want them to do, and they have an attention span of 4 seconds and got very little or no results at all. Where somebody that's trained on how to picture things, how to see things operating the way they want, how to make things obey them, got great results. Okay, they measured it. They actually logged every bit of it, and real soon it's going to be on the internet for you and I to sift through. It's laborious, redundant information. But if you sift through it, it's really interesting. So here's the point. If we will actually take God at his word that this stuff is true and set out to walk by faith and start pressing in to the kingdom of God, we will start getting the results that Jesus got. Listen, there's no limit to it. I'm not saying that you can control another person's will, because that's one thing about the wave experiment. You get one thing bouncing in the water and it's making those little ripples go out. You get another thing bouncing in the water, it's making those little ripples go out. Where they hit each other, they cancel each other out. So your faith becomes void against another person's faith if they're believing something different than you're believing, right? We can't override another person's will. But if they're passive, in other words, if, say, you're praying for somebody that has no knowledge of the things of God and how they operate, and your faith is activated in their body, that'll work because their will is in alignment, allowing your will to run at that moment. Does that make sense? Okay? But if somebody just refuses to believe, then that's it. They just refuse. You know, that's on them. But if we're talking about stuff now, it has to obey us. So now here comes a crisis of belief. Why, if it doesn't obey you, doesn't it? Because you don't believe it yet. That's the only reason. That's absolutely the only. You're not inferior. You're not broken. You're not less than. God didn't withhold something from you. They're not especially gifted and you're not. Mm-mm. 4 seconds, a lifestyle. 4 seconds, a lifestyle. Which are you? Or where in there are you? Some things, like when it comes to boilers, 4 seconds. For me, 4 seconds. I'll tell you what, that beeping sure was speaking louder to me than my faith. Beep, beep, beep. It was speaking louder than my faith. I didn't have faith for it. You know, I was hoping and wishing, but I didn't believe at that moment that it actually would obey me. Okay? So here's the thing. Stuff doesn't have a say. Stuff does not have a say. Only you and I do. Period. So if that's the case, that the only variable is what I believe, I need to start practicing, right? So here's the thing. I've been practicing healing. I decided I was always afraid of it, so I decided I'm going to start practicing this stuff, right? And, you know, my ego makes me act like I'm a pro at it. I'm not. Okay? I'm a beginner. Kindergarten. But I'm in school. I go to school every day. I may be in kindergarten, but I do go to school every day. Okay? And I'm working on it. And I'm seeing more and more results in that area. Other areas, I don't put my attention on it. And because I don't put my attention on it, I don't get those results. Some people put their attention on finances and getting financial results in their life. And they do. Some people put their attention on stuff. A better job, more income. They can put it on whatever they do. And they get more results in those areas. Right? So it's really about our relationship with God. That's what it really boils down to. Because here's the thing. This stuff, apart from a relationship with God, doesn't mean anything. Who cares if stuff obeys you if you're going to be cast into hell? Who cares? See if hellfire goes out for you when you get there, dude. God's word overrules your word and my word. And so the relationship with Him is paramount. One thing I've noticed, when I pray for people to get healed, if I'm coming from an egotistical, prideful, whatever kind of point of view that isn't in a compassionate, loving relationship for that person, I don't get the results I get. When I have genuine compassion rising up in my, the real stuff rising up in my heart, I see the results. Or when I see the matter-of-factness of operating in my authority and I'm matter-of-factly coming against something of the devil, I see that work. Really. And that's where I've been putting my attention. Does this make sense? So if you can take one thing away from here today, I want you to take this away. Stuff must obey me if I believe. I have so many stories of people that I've looked up, and I wanted to look them up so I can see, of where farmers believe God that their crops, they speak, their crops are going to be watered from a mist in the ground, whether there's rain or not. And if it is rain, then it's going to fall on their farm matter-of-factly. Whether the neighbors does or not, but it's definitely going to fall on their farms. And I've got testimonies, not written or anything, but I've heard their testimonies, of people whose farm is green and the neighbor's is dry. Where the neighbor will go, my goodness, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain on your property. And the owner say, yep. Andrew Womack, we talked about Andrew Womack. He used to walk on his property. He has some acreage out in Colorado. He would walk on his property and it was looking pretty scruffy. Pretty darn scruffy. And so he's walking around and going, well, I'm just going to speak to it. I'm going to speak to my land. And he started walking around and speaking to him and goes, trees, you grow. Trees, you be green. Grass, you grow. Flowers, you bloom. Bloom, be healthy. You're blessed. You're blessed, flowers. You're blessed, grass. You're blessed, trees. Grow, 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 grow. Do you know what? After a few months of doing that, noticeable difference between the greenery on his fence side of the fence and the dryness of the neighbor's side of the fence. Noticeable difference. Things must obey us. They do not have the right or the power to not obey us if we believe. They can't void you. They have no say. They only respond. That's all they do. They respond. Somebody decided what a brick was. And then somebody put their attention on it and started putting materials together to make a brick. And then somebody decided to improve on that and make it marketable. And so guys got ideas and started putting them into actions. This stuff here never existed. Some guys got together and had an idea and spoke about that stuff and created this material. Man decided about this and put it together and created it. And now we see this podium here. There's nothing in this room that you can look at that somebody didn't decide it needed to exist. Is that true or not? So it obeyed us. It absolutely did. And in the most phenomenal ways. I mean, probably all of you have a testimony or some testimony of a miracle that took place in your life, of a healing that took place in your life. Of how about even this one? How about this miracle? That God spoke to you about somebody else's private stuff and told you so that you can tell them so they would know for sure that God hears them. That's a miracle of God. We can't downplay that. That's a big deal. And each one of us have giftings from God. Each one of us has a propensity towards the Holy Spirit in some form or fashion. In other words, each one of us has a tendency to be like the Holy Spirit in one area or another. And after we start grooming that, we're allowed to desire other areas to manifest the Holy Spirit in by starting to put our attention on that and starting to make that a part of our everyday life. You know, I've known a few people in this room that have decided to exercise. And I've been watching to see the kind of results that they're getting. And it started creating a bit of excitement in me that I can get those same results. Because I've gotten lazy and I've just not been doing it. And I've been watching as somebody else. Do you know they have to make a commitment to do that? Whether they feel like it or not, they need to push through it. And then as they get through the hard stuff, you know what I noticed? Is after they push through the hard stuff and it starts becoming a habit, their heart starts looking forward to it, and then they start being able to enjoy their exercise, and they look forward to it because now it's a part of their condition and it's a part of who they are, and now they get those results. The Bible says exercise does some good because it will fade away if you don't keep it up, right? But when it comes to spiritual things, if we put our attention on it, that's eternal results. Because your eternal identity is being formed. Amen? Amen? So, last thing I want to say. Stuff must obey us if we believe. It must. So we need to get in the Bible, in our prayer time, open up our spiritual ears so we can hear the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Let inspiration, ideas, intuition, creativity start flowing in us and start waking up to who we are in the Spirit and start taking dominion over this world around us so that our life can be the best possible life we can experience. The best possible life. If you want it to be different, guess who has the power to make it different? I do for me, and you do for you. Amen? Amen? Love you guys. Let me close in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the people that have gone before us, Lord Jesus. And I ask you, Father, to give us creative ideas, to give us inspiration, Lord, to let us start growing our faith, to speak those things, Lord, and believe what we say will come to pass, Father. So, Father, I ask that you would be gracious to us and give us things that we can accomplish, Lord, so we can start getting a track record and things under our belt that'll give us more confidence and more confidence, Father, so that our minds can be renewed and the spirit of our hearts can be renewed, Lord, that we really are spiritual and that we really are like you and that stuff has to obey us if we will believe and doubt not in our heart, Lord. So, Father, I just thank you for waking up that aspect to us while all along you walk with us side by side, that we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory, Lord. For every bit of this is for the sign of the unbeliever, for those people, Father, to be increased into the kingdom of God. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great night.